Hello, Crossway. Great to be with you today. And just before we move on, hey, let's talk about I'm looking a bit patched up this morning. I know you, I don't want you to spend the next 25 minutes trying to work out where's Pastor Mark been. Has he been bashed? Has he been in a boxing ring? No, I haven't. I had a number of stitches removed just last Friday after experiencing a skin cancer surgery. All is good, but I'm a bit patched up right now, and I'm better off looking this way than having the wound exposed. So thanks for your understanding on that one. Hey, Tanya and I, we have really enjoyed raising our four kids over many years now, and they're all now moving through their teenage years, and of course that brings its challenges. They all have their moments, but we love them all dearly, and we love them equally. They all have their own specialised, unique personalities and abilities, but I must say one of our kids has what I would call a standout feature. It's our oldest daughter, Hannah, and it's her striking red hair. Now, here she is. I wouldn't have got away with putting a present day photo up of our 18-year-old daughter, but here's our younger Hannah comparing her red locks with that of Merida from the Disney movie Brave as we visited Disneyland a number of years ago now. Here they are talking about their red hair. As a matter of fact, as Hannah was a young kid, many people regularly would stop us in the street, ladies in particular, and stop us in shopping centres just to compliment her on her red hair. As a matter of fact, a teacher once told us in a teacher-parent interview night that you notice Hannah, as soon as you walk into a room full of students, Hannah's the one that stands out with her ravishing red hair and her personality to match as well. But you know what? The question we've always had as parents is this. Will Hannah be content with her natural hair colour as she starts to move through life, as she moves into teenagehood and she then moves into adulthood? Because what I have noticed with, and I will say this, with ladies in particular, regardless of an admired hair colour, you often want to change things up, don't you? Want to become a brunette, what it feels like to be a blonde and maybe put a bit of a black colour through your hair. And hey, that's all fun and it's quite harmless in many ways. But what's more harmful is this, and I've noticed this over the years, is the amount of people that try and end up changing who they are based on the way people are treating them, the things that people are tossing at them and saying about them. And you saw it in the schoolyard growing up, particularly in my school. It wasn't just the redheads like Hannah that got teased. And we know all the names that pertain to a redhead that you heard at school. But it was also the skinny kid. It was the slightly overweight kid. It was the kid from a poor home rocking up in shabby clothing. It was the Indigenous Aussie who stood out in a predominantly white crowd. Hurtful insults. Insults that carried a lot of damage, bullying that excluded people from ever feeling like they belonged. And you had these kids walking around school searching for significance and craving that belonging and even doing some really silly things and outrageous things just so they could fit in. Well, I wonder if you've ever felt excluded like that on the basis of your appearance or your popularity or lack thereof, your quirkiness or even your social status. Have you ever been shunned and excluded? Doesn't feel really good, does it? Doesn't feel great at all. Now, thankfully, our Hannah has always been thankful in how God created her. She's always been content in who she is. She's been content with her hair colour. She hasn't tried to change her hair colour once in her 18 years, and I dare say she never will. She's really content with how God's wired her. But importantly, she's also found her significance through relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where she's found her deepest sense of belonging and significance. And that's a gift, because I know how tumultuous the teenage life can be as teenagers start searching for a safe place of belonging and significance. But it's not just teenagers, is it? We know this as adults. Adults can start searching for that significance and sense of belonging. And we can often succumb to the pressure to be something or someone that the world would uphold and believe in. So we spend a huge amount of time and energy chasing after the ideal body image or storing up enough possessions that we're comfortable with or living in the right suburb or working in an occupation where people go, wow, is that what you do for a job? Believing that those sorts of things will be a silver bullet to our contentment and that sense of belonging. And by chasing after those things and even acquiring a portion of those things, what can happen is we can end up belonging to the world if we're not careful. But God says, you belong to me. Now we read it in Romans chapter 8 that we are God's children. We are heirs of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. As a matter of fact, we read in Jeremiah 1 verse 5 that the Lord said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So think about this. God wasn't in your birthing suite when you came into this world all those years ago, waiting for your delivery and going to that place of, ooh, I wasn't expecting you. Of course he was expecting you. He knew you as you were being formed in your mother's womb. But as soon as you enter this world as we know it, what happens is the world tries to capture us and take us away from that sense of belonging that we have to our Maker. And God says to us, you belong to me. You belong to me. I've made you unique. I've made you special. I've given you a unique personality. I've given you strengths that you can develop over time. I love you just the way you are. This is your package. You are significant, and your significance and belonging will be wrapped up in me, not in what this world will toss at you and lure you in with. Yet how often do people, and you may have done this yourself, we've gone off searching for belonging and significance in pubs and clubs and casinos and through diet companies, and we may even get lured in with a sense of belonging, and eventually though, what happens is you get spat out. You get lied to and left squandering. Why? Because you didn't measure up. But understand that you are significant, that God values you and he made you. You belong to him. The question I have for you today is this. Have you accepted that invitation to belong? Have you truly accepted that invitation to belong to Jesus Christ? It's an invitation that holds no prejudice, has no prerequisites. It simply calls for a commitment of faith as we submit our hearts and our lives to Jesus, where we say, yes, Jesus, I want to belong to you. Jesus plus nothing. You know, the Apostle Paul was someone who knew the difference from belonging to this world and belonging to God. Because for many years, he was a product of the world around him, leading right up to his Damascus Road experience. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a portion of Paul's life, haven't we, as he starts speaking into the Gentile regions. We've been looking at Galatians chapters 1 and 2 and excerpts from both those chapters, where Paul writes to this region of churches and he's emphasizing this authentic gospel. Now, sometimes we can dress the gospel up into something that it's not. The authentic gospel is quite simply the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is preaching. And you might have noticed over the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what Paul's been saying to these churches is that he's warning the churches of the false teaching that has started to find its way into the early church. This Jesus plus nothing notion was being opposed, but rather they were proclaiming this Jesus plus more notion, that more needs to be done for you to be right with God, for you to experience salvation. For that to be the case, you need to embrace these ceremonial Jewish laws and customs. And now, excitingly, Gentiles were coming to Christ. It was good times in the early church, and they were coming to Christ without adhering to these extra stipulations that were threatening the traditional Jewish throng. And this was causing great confusion to the Gentiles. They submitted their hearts to Jesus. They'd submitted their ways to Jesus, yet they were being told, sorry, there's more. For you to be saved, you've got to do more. And now last week, Pastor Tim highlighted and he called it this epic spray, remember? This epic spray that Paul delivered to Peter as he confronted Peter's downright hypocrisy. In that Peter withdrew from eating with his new friends, his Gentile friends, because all of a sudden he was in the presence of some of his traditional Jewish mates. And so, rather than sticking his neck out and running with this newfound gospel and how that lives out in his life, he actually withdrew. He conformed. And symbolically, he turned his back on this newfound freedom that he'd been preaching. And he compromises the good news of Jesus Christ as a result. Now, Paul is insisting here, he's insisting on consistency. Living a life that is in sync with the grace that we receive when we place our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ. This Jesus plus nothing, not Jesus plus a few more rules and regulations. So Paul then goes on and continues to express the gospel in a way that is accessible to anyone and everyone. That's where we find ourselves today in chapter 3. Just three short verses we're going to have a quick look at now. It's from Galatians 3, 26 and 28. And that'll come up on the screen there for you. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if ever there was a classic statement in evidence of the turnaround in someone's life, it has to be these verses. See, Paul, like many other traditional male Jews back in the day, this is crazy, but this is the prayer that they would have prayed on a daily basis, a Thanksgiving prayer. Paul would have prayed, Thank you, God, that I was not born a female. Thank you, God, that I was not born a Gentile. And thank you, God, that I was not born a slave. Now, for someone who was a Jew, who was living life in legalistic fashion, for someone who was working to gain God's favor, for someone who was a passionate persecutor of Christians, for someone who could pray a prayer like that every single day, then these verses that we've just read there in Galatians are massive. They indicate a transformation in Paul's life. As he's come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's turned his life upside down, and he now understands all that the gospel truly represents and how it's meant to play out in our lives. And so after this Damascus Road conversion experience that he has, God sends Paul out as an apostle to the Gentiles to teach the word of God, to teach people about this authentic gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So here he is talking to the churches in Galatia. Now, there were a number of Jewish Christians living in the area at the time. It wasn't just the Gentiles. And this was causing some problems because they were still holding on to these Old Testament laws to put yourself right with God. So there's great confusion that was still rife in the early church there in this region. So enter Paul. He enters with great conviction and he preaches the abolishment of any distinction that may have been set up in that society that was preventing people from experiencing the grace and the blessing of Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For all of us, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. Now, this was written in a time and in a culture where the Jews thought they were much more superior than the Greeks. This was written in a time where slaves came under the oppression practices and the power of their masters. This came at a time where males genuinely thought themselves more superior than females. They would look down on females and see them as inferior. But something amazing was happening in the early church. People of all walks of life were coming to faith. And suddenly race, social class, gender didn't seem to matter anymore. In Christ, there would be no distinction, and that still stands true today. It wasn't just for yesterday. It's for today as well. Jesus comes and has come to obliterate all these prejudices, highlighting that the gospel and this invitation to life, this invitation to belong, is for all people, every single one of us. You know what we can do? We can do one of two things. Sometimes we can look at these three things. We can look at race, we can look at gender, we can look at social class within ourselves. And what we perceive of ourselves and how we even judge ourselves, we can go to that place of beating up on ourselves because we don't like what we see. Believing the lie that we don't or can't even belong to God based on who I've become or what I've done in my past. But you know what? Jesus washes over all of that. You've got to let that go. He washes all of it as we submit our lives to him. He washes over all of it. You do stack up in his eyes. Don't believe that lie that you can't or won't belong to God based on who you are or how you perceive yourself or what others are saying about you. You do belong to God. You do stack up in his eyes. The other thing that we can do is this, and this can be quite hurtful and very damaging to others. We can look at others and judge them on the basis of race, social class, and gender, and we can devalue them to such a degree, the result being that we alienate them from ever feeling like they belong. And that is just cruel. See, in Christ Jesus, these differences disappear. But I'm afraid in the world that we live, they are just as prevalent today as what they were in Paul's day. And dare I say, it can even creep into the church quite sadly. And we need to listen to that. For those of us who are Christ followers, who love Jesus, we belong to Jesus, we have to make sure that we are living with consistency and living in honor of what Paul is proclaiming here in Galatians. Because you think about it, if we devalue someone or look down on someone or omit them from our circle based on their gender or their race or their social class, that person has yet to come into a faith in Jesus Christ. They look at us and say, "You're a Christian, aren't you? You represent your God. Why would I want to belong to your faith? Why would I want to belong to Jesus if that's the way Jesus treats me through you?" We've got to be very, very careful in the way that we treat others and the way that we value those around us based on those three things. Let's have a look at those three things just quickly. The first one being gender, neither male nor female. Now, nowhere in the New Testament Is it even implied that men have a higher standing or position before God in comparison to women? See, the roles that we saw genders play out in the early church, they fitted the context of the day. Now, you could say there was very much a male-dominated culture, and it was. It was what it was. But roles shift and change over time and fit the context of our current day. And so life now for women in the church is very different to how it was back then. Sadly, there are still churches today across a number of denominations who still shut women out of certain positions and responsibilities in church life. And I'm, for one, so glad to be part of the Crossway Baptist Church where that's not the case. Where women quite rightly are celebrated, where women are championed, it's not simply a case of men on top of the pyramid and women underneath subservient to men. It's just not the case. Women belong in positions of leadership as much as men do. That is my firm belief, and I know it's the firm belief of Pastor Dale and others here at Crossway. I mean, how much do we benefit? How much do we benefit from Pastor Heather's preaching? Absolutely. How much do our kids and our young families benefit from Pastor Merrin's strategic and gifted leadership and teaching? Absolutely so. What about Fiona Hall and her leadership at Life Care? The amount of lives that have been transformed through the ministry of Life Care under her leadership as she leads her staff, just incredible. It would be crazy for us to put a line through Pastor Heather, Pastor Merrin, and Fiona just on the basis of their gender. Sorry, guys, we're going to have to shift you to the sidelines. We're going to have to bring a man in to do that job for you because we think that's the right thing to do. Just crazy. Why would God gift Pastor Heather, Pastor Merrin, and Fiona in the way that he has to then have them sit on the sidelines and render those gifts null and void? Just doesn't make sense. We want to champion the likes of those and be part of growing and building up the body of Christ together. How much poorer would we be if we put a line through such amazing women? Women belong to God. Now we know that. We absolutely know that. Women belong to God as much as men do. And Jesus modeled this beautifully, didn't he? When he came across and ministered to the woman at the well. For those of you who are familiar with that story where Jesus knew that she was a Samaritan, Jesus knew that she lived a little bit of a compromised and sordid life. And he knew that respectable Jewish men didn't sidle up to women like this and give them the time of day. Yet Jesus did. Jesus came alongside of her and just respected her and honored her, spoke into her life with great sensitivity and just turned her life around and treated her with great value as a masterpiece, a beautiful creation of God. And you see that time and time again with the way that Jesus would minister and befriend women. Christianity, in contrast to so many other religions, lifts women to their rightful places of honor and gives dignity and freedom. Ladies, and men for that matter, you belong to God and you belong to this community. You belong in this place at Crossway, the church. So let's make sure we elevate each other to our rightful places and no one should ever be made to feel inferior based or less important based on their gender. Gender. Second one was race. You're neither Greek nor Jew. Now, there's that patriotic song, isn't there? A very famous song that we often hear sung at big events in Australia. It's I am, you are, we are Australian. Very inclusive lyrics, aren't they? I love that song because they're so inclusive as we sing them together. Now, racism in our lucky country is probably nowhere near as rampant as it once was, but it still rears its ugly head, unfortunately, doesn't it? Where people say disparaging things about our own Indigenous people or new arrivals to our country, where it makes you feel downright ashamed to be Australian. See, God intended his gospel to be preached to the entire world, all races. There is no favoritism with God. He detests any form of racial discrimination. Now, speaking about favorites, one thing I must say is that when I come to my birthday or come to Christmas time, I love it when I receive gifts, particularly the simple gift of chocolate. I love chocolate, particularly these ones here. My favorite's chocolate. I love receiving favorites, very simple gift. Don't they say that's the gift that you bring when you're not supposed to bring a gift to an event? Well, I've certainly received plenty of these over my time. And the invitation on the box is to simply hoe in for your favorites. Go for it. So for me, my favorite and the thing that I do first is look for the flake. I love the flake. That's the thing I'm going to eat first. And once I've eaten the flake, And then start to work my way through the other chocolates, like the cherry ripes and the crunchies and the old gold dark chocolate, the Morrows, all those things. I go through my favourites. I've got a bit of a list. But there's one chocolate that falls to the bottom that I'm not particularly enamoured with, that I don't particularly like. You know what that chocolate is? Now, some of you might frown here right now because this chocolate's quite polarising. It's the Turkish Delight. Who loves a Turkish Delight? Not me. That's going to go. Now, Pastor Dale in the studio, he's putting his hand up. He wants my Turkish Delights. So I'll gladly throw these Turkish Delights to him at the end of our sermon here today. The Turkish Delight. No, I'm going to discard that. I discard it. It goes to the bottom of the pack. It's unused. It's uneaten. It's pretty much irrelevant for me when it comes to my box of favourites. And perhaps for some of you, that is the case as well. But I wonder if you have ever felt like a discarded Turkish Delight. It's not great, is it? It's not a great feeling. But on the flip side of that, I wonder if you've ever made someone else feel like a discarded, irrelevant Turkish Delight, pushed to the side where you just don't matter based on your race and your upbringing, where you stick with your favourite people and alienate others. It's just not God's way. No one should ever, in any context, feel inferior based on their skin colour, their place of birth, or their foreign tongue. An underlying principle of what it means to live a life that is God-honouring is to accept and thank God for your own earthly heritage and then pay those around you that same respect. Now, at Crossway, I'm so glad that we get to celebrate a whole diversity of race. Koreans and Indians and Chinese and Egyptians and Scots and Italians and Greeks and Americans. Yes, I even put the Americans in there, Jason Wright, my friend down there at the Southeast. And I could go on and on and on. We love you all. We love each other. We come together because we belong to one another. We belong together. And Paul is calling every single one of us, regardless of where we've come from, what the colour of our skin is, what our race might be, we all called into this belonging, a belonging that we find in Jesus Christ that unifies us. We belong to God, not to Buddha, not to Allah, not to some sort of New Age version of God. We belong to our Father in heaven. Now, you can rightly call yourself a son or a daughter of God, an heir of Christ, as Paul puts it, by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And we do know that the scripture says that the only way, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to that is through Jesus Christ. So let's again embrace that this morning and hold on to that. The third one is class. So you have neither slave nor free. Now, all of my life, and I've got to say, I'm going to put my hand up and say, I've been guilty of this. And I'm sure most of you have been guilty of this in some shape or form, where we put class labels on others based on things like appearance and money and occupations and postcodes. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, apparently, if you live in Victoria, or say if you live in Toorak, then you must be a snob. If you're born into a family business, you must be a silver spoon. If you're blonde and female, you're either dumb or you're a surfy chick. If you're a redhead, you're fiery. If you're dressed a little daggy, then you must be a nerd. If you live in the western suburbs, you're a bogan. If you're a girl and you like sport and you like hanging out with boys, well, you must be a tomboy. And if you're a guy, you're into stamp collecting and you love bird watching, then you must be a little bit of a geek. Now, I've probably just offended about 50% of you there this morning. I'm sorry about that, inadvertently doing that. But you know I mean it. But they're the sort of class labels that so many people put on each other. And we can be guilty of that. Because when we put those labels on people, what happens is we then treat them accordingly. And it's our natural inclination to feel a little uncomfortable around those who are dissimilar to us. And then to gravitate towards the people who are more similar to me. But even in the church, those social pecking orders can start to take place on the basis of the rich and the poor and the powerful and the weak and the popular and the not so popular. And it's simply not God's way. And neither slave nor free also means that we should expect to embrace into our midst the marginalised, the cast aside, the lonely, those that may be going through some serious addictions, the unemployed, the homeless. Yes, we also embrace such as these, and giving them a sense of belonging that is founded in our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, God doesn't treat you or judge you on the basis of what suburb you live in, what your paycheck says, hey, what your occupation's all about. He loves you for who you are. He loves you just the way you are. Remember, he gave you your package. You are unique. You are special. You are a masterpiece in his eyes. Well, let's bring this in for a landing today, shall we? Reality television shows. The irony with reality TV is it's far from real, isn't it? Because we know that the producers manufacture and narratives to suit their agenda. But shows like Beauty and the Geek and Farmer Wants a Wife and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and Survivor, and you could go on and on and on. There's so many of them, isn't there? And what's really interesting is that initially, when these programs start, all of the contestants are full of beans, full of life and great aspirations, and they all get thrown into a house together generally to live together, promising that sense of community and belonging as they journey through the weeks of challenges. But people here who are craving belonging, who are craving significance as they try to make something of themselves. But what happens is, even before getting voted off the show, what sets in? Well, that sense of belonging is eroded through hatred and trickery and gossip. It just turns ugly. And then, of course, for the majority of the contestants, when they eventually get voted off the show or voted off the island, you've got the ultimate sense of rejection when that happens. And you see it, don't you, at the post-event interviews, all those post-event shows where everyone just spits out this venom. It's all about hatred and revenge and hurt, where their confidence is shot, and it's just full of tears and insecurity. See, unfortunately, that's the world we live in. And when you go chasing after belonging and significance in all the wrong places, then the results will be shattering. Your confidence will be shot to pieces. Your self-worth will be shot to pieces. But understand that whatever your race, whatever your class, whatever your gender, whatever your vaccination status, you belong to God. You are His. And if ever there was a place that we ought to belong, it's got to be the church, doesn't it? It has to be the church. And that's what Paul is impressing upon us too in Galatians 3 there, where we're all unified by a common faith. You belong to Him. And the gospel unites us all. And that sense of belonging is cemented in Christ's death and resurrection. Paul makes that very clear there. And the clothes that we now put on as we come into that sense of belonging with Him. He clothes us with forgiveness. He clothes us with salvation. And one of the lies that the evil one will tell you is that based on your past mistakes and based on what people say about you, the judgments they make about you, that you're a nobody. That you'll never amount to anything. You don't deserve God's grace. You don't deserve to belong to Him through Jesus Christ. Well, that is an absolute lie. Remember last week, Pastor Tim spoke about Teflon as opposed to Velcro, and often we live with Velcro and all that stuff, that nasty stuff that's said about us and it sticks. Well, put on the Teflon and let those lies just roll off you, because they're not true. You are precious. You are precious in God's eyes. You are significant, and your identity is absolutely founded in Jesus Christ. That's where you'll find your deepest belonging. Jesus plus nothing. Do you know that belonging? I know for many of you, you do. You know that belonging. You've embraced that belonging, and it's flowing out in who you are and who you're becoming in Christ. That's a good thing. But there are some of you who are watching this today, and you are craving that sense of belonging and identity that I've been speaking about. A sense of belonging and significance that can only be found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to pray a prayer on your behalf right now and invite you to pray this prayer, recite it in the quiet of your hearts, and own this for yourself. For those of you who have come into that belonging, why don't you just pray along with me? For those who are right on the cusp now of making the most important decision they could possibly make in their lives as they fall into this and embrace this belonging that Jesus invites us all into. So how about we pray and allow people to make this wonderful decision in this moment. Let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank You for creating me just the way I am. And while, God, look, I'm not proud of everything that I've done, the things that I've done in my past, and even the person that I've become, I want to ask, God, in this moment, You might forgive me. That You might forgive me for the dirt that pervades in my life, for the things that I've done that's caused harm, not just to me, but to other people as well. And I want to commit my life to You in this moment. I want to commit my gender, my race, my class, and acknowledge that You have gifted me uniquely with these things. And I want to give them back now and dedicate all that You have given me. And I want to dedicate my life and honor You. I'm sick of believing those lies, that I'm useless, that I'm unworthy, that I'm inferior. And God, I want to embrace the value that You see in me. I want to embrace the acceptance you have of me. God, I want to belong. Jesus, I want to belong to you. I want to live a life with that comforting assurance that what you've done on the cross that you did for me. You died on that cross so that my sins might be forgiven. You raised to life on the third day so that I might too rise to a new life, a life of great hope and conviction and a comforting assurance that will go into eternity. And as a church, we commit to not creating divides based on race and class and gender and even vaccination status for that matter, but rather we embrace each other and we celebrate our diversity, a diversity that in turn brings unity to your people. Thank you, Jesus, that it's your love, it's your grace that unites us all and that grants us that belonging that then lasts into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lost and ill, I heard of God in flesh, who climbed a lonely hill with all my weights to bear. He died on mercy's cross, was buried with my sin, but then he rose in love that oh my heart could sing.
Come on,
he is mighty, he is strong. He's the Savior of my soul. He is Jesus, Lord of all.
Come on, we sing.
Nothing's greater than, nothing matters more. I will fix my eyes on His kingdom's goal. Nothing comes between, nothing can contain.
Sing.
As he was raised to life, he took my dirty rags.